The epistle for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. For whosoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again in fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption of sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself giveth testimony to our spirit that we are the sons of God. And if sons, heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ. This far the epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said to him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for now thou canst be steward no longer. And the steward said within himself, What shall I do, because my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship? To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed. I know what I will do, that when I shall be removed from the stewardship, they may receive me in their houses. Therefore, calling together every one of his Lord's debtors, he said to the first, How much dost thou owe my Lord? But he said, 100 barrels of oil. And he said to him, Take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, And how much dost thou owe? Who said, 100 quarters of wheat. He said to him, Take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward for as much as he had done wisely. For the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of the light. And I say to you, make unto you friends of the mammon of iniquity, that when you shall fail, they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. As far as the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come, Holy Ghost. Dear faithful, the readings today remind us that we are supposedly sons of God. This is what St. Paul teaches to the Romans, that we are sons of God and heirs to the kingdom of heaven. With this in mind, we can overcome all difficulties. We can find answers to all our problems. We can find the kind of peace that we ought to have with God. When we are being baptized, the very beginning of the ceremony, the priest addresses the one to be baptized or the godparents, if it's an infant being baptized, and says to them, asks some questions. The first one is, what is your name? And they give their name. And the second one is, let's say the name is David, right? And the priest says to him, David, what do you ask from the Church of God? And the answer is faith. And then the priest asked him, what does faith give you? And he answers, eternal life. And then the priest gives a little discourse on eternal life. He says, if it is life that you wish to enter, into, keep the commandments. And he speaks of the two great commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Those are from the very beginning of our entrance into the Catholic Church. On the day when we're baptized, we're told, what does it mean to be sons of God? And the rest of our life, we have to live up to that. Keep the commandments. We have 10 commandments. We are supposed to know the 10 commandments. That is one of the things that we have to learn before we can receive First Communion. We're supposed to memorize the 10 commandments and know them. And then as we grow older, we're supposed to recognize more and more about those commandments, because at the very earliest ages, we don't know everything about them, but we are supposed to study again. That's what, in the Catholic schools, they would give you catechism courses each year, and you would learn a little more throughout the first 8 grades in high school. And of course, one of the biggest problems with Catholic education in the 20th century was that after high school, you didn't get any more. And you like sort of graduated from religion and then left it behind. You know? That was not good. Adults need to study the catechism too, even after college. We need to keep very fresh, because it's so easy to forget, and the world tries to convince us that it's not true what we saw in the catechism. So the continuing education is so important to keeping the commandments. It is when we're baptized that we're adopted into the family of the Holy Trinity. It is then when God becomes our Father. And because we're members of His family, Jesus Christ is the natural Son of God, and we're adopted sons, He becomes in a certain way our brother. And the Holy Ghost, in a certain way, a mother to us. Because He is the center of love, He's not a she. But there is all the love of the Father for the Son and the Son for the Father, we see, that's the Holy Ghost. So we're adopted into this divine family. And in that sense, we are made divine in a certain way, because we live the life of the Holy Trinity with them. That life is an uncreated life. That life is also known as sanctifying grace, which we receive in baptism. And we are meant to preserve and increase that grace throughout our life. Now, in the Gospel, we have the parable of the unjust steward. And the point that Jesus is making is that this steward was looking out for his future. He was a thief insofar as he gave away his master's goods, and he had no right to do so. But he was looking out for his future, and there is what was commendable. He was at least thinking of tomorrow. And we all have to think of the future. Something that we say in the creed at Mass, at the end of the creed, we speak about the life of the world to come. Life after death. What about that life? We have to try to provide for good in that life? Yes, we do. If we want to be in heaven with God, we're going to have to keep the commandments and have grace in our souls. And it won't be there if we don't keep the commandments, if we don't know what they are and keep them. If we haven't been baptized, or if we broke the commandment seriously and then didn't do anything to recover grace after that, namely go to confession and repent. So we have the unjust steward looking out for his future. Jesus is trying to teach us to look out for our future. He's saying that the vast majority of Catholics don't care about the next world. And even if they say they care, they don't do much about it. They only go from day to day worrying about mundane things and not taking time out for the future of heaven, which, you know, if you compare it to the world, it's very long. You might live 60, 70, 80 years if you're living a normal lifespan on the earth. Then you die. After that, 60 or 70 or 80 years will seem like absolutely nothing, because it's an eternity now. There's no end of that period of time. It will not finish. And if we've disobeyed the commandments, stayed outside of God's grace, it'll be an eternity of hell. Punishment. That's not what you should want. There was a little story I can relate to you from Bishop Sheen. He went to the hospital to anoint somebody or to give communion to somebody. And when he got there to see them in their room, the doctors were busy with him, and so he couldn't go in right away. But meanwhile, he wandered into a neighboring hospital room, and there was someone there with terminal illness. And that person was not in the grace of God. And Bishop Sheen didn't know, but he came in and introduced himself and talked to him for a while and found out that he was terminal. And so he said, "Have you made your peace with God?" And he said, "No, I haven't." So Bishop Sheen asked him again, "Well, you can do that now. I'm a priest. I'm here. You can make your confession." And he said, "I don't want to." And he says, "Are you in the state of grace?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, you know, if you die without the state of grace, you'll go to hell." Man said, he said to him, St. Bishop Sheen told him, "Do you really want to go to hell?" And he said, "Yes, I want to go to hell." Bishop Sheen was very shocked, and he showed it. And he said, "My goodness gracious, I have never met anyone in my whole life who said he wanted to go to hell. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit down here in this chair and watch you go." And he sat down and stared at the man. And then the man was fidgeting and nervous and so on. And so it finally came to a sense and said, yeah, you know, on second thought, Father, I'd like to make my confession. So we know that if it is indeed, if we die without the grace of God, we go to hell, and that's why we must always be careful to know what are God's commandments and to observe them. And especially those of charity. All of the commandments are because of charity. If we love God, we will not want to disappoint Him in any way. If we love our neighbors, we will not do things which are offensive towards them. If we love some of our neighbors and not others, well, that's not enough. We must love them all. And so the gospel about the unjust steward reminds us to take care for heaven. We have to prepare ourselves for the inevitable time of our death right now. Now is the time. You don't, at 15 years old, you're not buying your cemetery plot yet, usually, right? But you are preparing for death. Because you have to learn your commandments and keep them too. And we have to think of it even in every temptation, we have to remember that God is present, He is watching. Several ways to help us not to commit sins, not to break the commandments. God is watching. He is present. He knows everything, even the temptation that we're having at the present moment. He knows what that temptation is, knows that you're being tempted. And He expects you to be good. And so we have the other ways, remembering that our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And there should be nothing unbecoming to the temple of the Holy Ghost with our body. We have to remember, we keep ourselves busy with work, play, study, all the things that are good, our prayers. We have to pray when we're tempted. Tell the good Lord about it. Does wonders. Wonders. Jesus wants to hear from you, and sometimes that's how come you were tempted. Why was I tempted? Well, God hadn't heard from you for a while, and He just sort of misses you. Yeah? And He wanted to hear from you, and so He gave you some trouble, so you'd come running to Him again. He loves you, you know. To avoid the occasion of sin, an occasion of sin is some person, place, or thing, or situation which is conducive to temptations and sins. We need to stay away from those things insofar as we're able. Sometimes we have to face an occasion of sin, and then we have to take measures to keep it from being a strong temptation. They call that to make the proximate occasion of sin into a remote occasion, because you're taking measures to reduce the effect of the temptations and the number of and the strength of the temptations. Then we have to resist the devil. We have to remember that the devil is an opportunist. He is like many of the thieves in Phoenix, Arizona. If something is laying there and it's not tied down and nobody's looking, they will take it. Right? They are opportunist thieves. Now, if it's easy, and it looks like they can get away with it, they will do it. But if it's locked up, tied down, guarded, even if it's very precious, they're not going to try to steal it. And this is the way the devil works. He's an opportunist, and if he sees something as easy, if it's easy for him to tempt you, he finds you in a place or in a condition that's easy to tempt you, he will take the opportunity. He's an opportunist. If you're too busy moving and doing good things, then you're a moving target, and he will look for a sitting duck to shoot instead of the moving target. If you are just laying around in the danger of an occasion of sin, you're a sitting duck. And you're an easy target for the devil. And he will shoot the easy targets first. Just like anybody who's playing a game of billiards, you know. If they're not a real expert, they're going to take the shot that's easiest. So we have to recognize the tactics and the strategy of Satan. He tries to get you. So don't be laying around in danger of sin. Don't be idle, and don't be in a place or with people that are occasion of sin to you when you don't need to be there. And of course, we preserve the grace that God gave us in baptism, and we also increase it. Speaking of ways to increase the grace that God gave us. Number one, say your prayers. And say them carefully. If we just rattle off our prayers without thinking of what's said or what we're doing, it's like a dog barking. Doesn't mean a thing. But we start before we even make the sign of the cross and think, I'm going to pray. I'm going to communicate with someone in the other world. I'm going to communicate with God. What am I going to say to him? I'm going to ask him for health or for holiness or for blessings or for humility or something. Think of what you're going to ask from him. Think of what you're going to tell him or thank him for. Think of how you're going to adore him as though he's really your God. And then make the sign of the cross and say your prayers. You'll hit the ground running. Your prayers will pierce heaven. And they will be effective prayers. You won't be wasting time. But you'll be increasing the grace in your soul that you received at baptism. And it will increase. We need to increase it. It's always admitting of greater and lesser intensity. We want to have it be as intense as possible. And so always adding to the intensity. And good, fervent prayers always bring us grace. Then, receiving the sacraments. When we receive Holy Communion especially, we increase the grace that we received in baptism. A worthy communion. Obviously, an unworthy communion does not. It's another sin. But in order to increase the grace, we receive our communions worthy, and all the sacraments which we receive worthily, they increase the sanctifying grace, the divine life which we are meant to keep and live in heaven with the Holy Trinity. Then, finally, our good works, including the resisting of a temptation. When a person gives in to temptation and sins, they lose grace if it's a mortal sin. But when they resist the temptation and refuse to fall into sin, they gain grace. It's a supernatural effort. You're working with God when you resist a temptation. It's teaming up with the divinity to do something which is a great battle effort in the overall scheme of Satan's battle against God. You are making a move on God's part of his own army. We're made soldiers of Christ by our confirmation. We're meant to be military against the evils around us, against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And when we beat up on a temptation and kill it, then the battle advances in favor of Christ. And we're doing something with a supernatural intention. It makes it merit-worthy. We want to please the good Lord. And that intention is supernatural. Doing something to please the good Lord is a source of an increase of grace and a decrease in general of sin. And so let us work very hard during this season. It's the season after Pentecost. The traditional calendar has the Sundays after Pentecost, from Pentecost Sunday all the way until Advent, which is most of the year. And that whole season has been thrown away by the Novus Ordo calendar. In the Novus Ordo Church, they have the, what they call, instead of Sundays after Pentecost now, they call them Sundays of Ordinary Time. And all I have to say about that is, whoop-dee-doo, Ordinary Time. How boring, right? Stupid as well. Ordinary Time, wow. This is exciting. And no time is ordinary, because life is very short, and we have to gain heaven in this time. And so we keep the Sundays after Pentecost, which were kept always in the church before. And these Sundays after Pentecost remind us of the Holy Ghost, where the Holy Ghost continually works to bring us more and more faith, strength of our faith and of our love for God, hope for heaven, and an increase of sanctifying grace. The Holy Ghost constantly working on us this way to bring us closer and closer to heaven. And that's our goal. He wants us to not only be adopted sons of Christ, but enter and receive that kingdom. Normally, we receive our inheritance when the one who willed it to us dies. But in this case, since God does not die, sorry, Nish, we're the ones who die. And when we die, with the grace of God, we inherit the kingdom of heaven. So let us work hard on gaining the kingdom of heaven. Let us have foresight and prepare for our future, which is inevitable, of the next world. Believing in the life of the world to come, as we profess when we say the creed on Sunday Mass. It's the Nicene Creed that's said on Sunday Masses at the end. I believe in the life of the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. Amen. At vitam venturi saeculi. So we ask, we have to believe in that and then make ready for it now, because now is that time to prepare for the next world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.